Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about how Montana's largest utility plans to get its energy for the next 20 years, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Grizzly Bear Report. It's Tuesday, December 10th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Federal recognition for the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians is on the fast track to reality. The tribe's long-sought recognition is part of the must-pass National Defense Authorization Act that lawmakers reached an agreement on yesterday. The U.S. House is expected to vote on the bill Wednesday and the Senate shortly after. The bill acknowledges the Little Shell's ancestral land claims in Montana and North Dakota and chronicles the tribe's repeated petitions for recognition. With recognition, the tribe and its members become eligible for federal funding for health care, education, and economic development. The bill also directs the Interior Secretary to acquire trust title to 200 acres for a tribal land base. The three members of Montana's congressional delegation have pushed for recognition for more than a decade, though standalone bills proved tough to move. Senators John Tester and Steve Daines and Congressman Greg Gianforte this year nestled the Little Shell's bill into the Defense Spending Act, which also secured funding for Maelstrom Air Base's weapons storage and maintenance facility. Montana's largest utility is in the planning process that informs how it acquires energy over the next two decades. Yesterday, environmental advocates rallied in the state capitol for a greater investment in renewable energy. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Around 50 protesters stood outside the Public Service Commission office in Helena before Monday's public comment meeting, and many later stepped inside to speak during the public hearing. They called for regulators to push Northwestern Energy away from fossil fuel-based energy sources. But at the meeting, Ben Fitch-Fleischman with Northwestern Energy said natural gas is the most cost-effective way to meet customers' needs in the future.
What our plan finds is it typically selects, when we do the optimization model and say we've got these scenarios, what resources are selected to meet our needs, it typically selects a natural gas-fired peaking unit.
Northwestern says it needs to almost double its potential energy generation to hit peak customer demand and avoid buying electricity on the open market. It says its peak capacity needs will crest 700 megawatts by 2025. The company says it will solicit competitive proposals from a variety of resources and use a staged approach, adding 200 megawatts of capacity per year from 2020 to 2025. Northwestern Energy updates its resource procurement plan every 2 years as required under state law. The plan details what the company sees as energy needs in the state. PSC will hold listening sessions in Missoula next week and in Billings and Lewistown in January. The comment period ends January 3rd. With reporting from Corin Cates Carney at Montana Public Radio, I'm Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The reward for information in a November moose poaching case has just gone up. The Skyline Sportsmen Association of Butte has added $500 to the reward offered for information leading to a conviction in the case involving a mature bull moose. The maximum reward amount informants may be eligible for in the case is now $1,500. The moose was killed illegally in the Highland Mountains south of Butte. It was shot sometime between November 15th and 22nd in Camp Creek east of Melrose and found on the north side of Camp Creek Road. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is asking anyone with information in the case to call 1-800-TIP-MONT. Callers can remain anonymous. The moose case is one in a rash of recent poaching and meat wasting cases FWP is investigating. It's early December, and already portions of north central Montana are shoveling above normal levels of snow. As of Sunday, Shoto and Cut Bank have received nearly double the amount of snow for an entire season, at 176 and 190% respectively, and Haver has seen 102% of normal. Other locations are approaching the normal snowfall, including Great Falls at 98% and Grass Range at 95%. Despite these above normal snow amounts, it'll take a few snowstorms before they reach record levels. Shodo is 75% of the record of 92.9 inches from 2010 to 2011, while Cut Bank is 83% of the record they set back in 1946 and 1947 of 76.2 inches. The weather season runs from July 1st to June 30th. A federal court in Missoula ordered the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service yesterday to issue an overdue report assessing how threatened grizzly bears in the lower 48 are doing. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton explains.
The order stems from a lawsuit filed by the Center for Biological Diversity in U.S. District Court this summer. Andrea Sanisseri is a lead attorney for the center. She says under the Endangered Species Act, the Fish and Wildlife Service is required to file a status report every 5 years, detailing whether listed species are moving toward or away from goals outlined in the agency's recovery plan. The agency last issued a report for grizzlies in 2011.
We basically asked the court to force the Fish and Wildlife Service to issue an updated status report that is required by the act, and also to update their outdated recovery plan.
A court order Monday says federal wildlife managers have until March 31st, 2021, to issue a new report for the threatened species. The court order doesn't completely resolve the case. The Center for Biological Diversity is also asking the court to order Fish and Wildlife to update its 1993 recovery plan for grizzlies and to consider reintroducing the species outside of the Northern Rockies where current populations live. Again, Sanisseri.
So there is historic habitat, for example, in Utah and in Colorado, that we think is still suitable habitat for grizzly bears to be reintroduced and to recover there.
Sanisseri says briefs over those two issues could be filed by early 2020. That would set the stage for oral arguments. A request for comment from the Fish and Wildlife Service was not returned in time for this story. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You Early Birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.